Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X, keeping us on course through stormy seas. It's definitely storming up here in the Starkville area. If you watch Super Talk or Sports Talk Mississippi on Super Talk TV, you'll see me go like, you know, that's just me hearing thunder and lightning of the real sort outside, and some rain hitting the studio. But such is life. We are nice and we are not wet here in the studio. We're good. There's no drainage, thankfully. Thank you guys for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'll be telling you about some of the great events happening down in Vicksburg this weekend. This weekend is Miss Mississippi Weekend down in the city of Vicksburg, one of the biggest events year in and year out, not only in the city of Vicksburg, but in the state of Mississippi. So we'll have some information about that a little later in the show. We are now officially in what I will call my off season. No live sports to report on for you from Mississippi State with the end of the baseball season. This past weekend, Mississippi State goes out in the regional round to the Virginia Cavaliers. Their season comes to an end. And we talked about this a little bit on Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, and I want to talk about it here on the show, and I want to get your thoughts on the CSpire text line, 601-879-4395. Was this a good season for Mississippi State baseball? And I feel like this is one of those topics where we're going to have some nuance. We're going to have to address that two things can be true at the same time. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I look at it two different ways. Way one is that this is a team that if you listen to this show, you know that I was not very high on this team preseason. I was not very high on this team a month into the season. They really turned it around, and they were in the discussion to host a regional up until the final day of the that they could have been. They won 17 conference games. They were a top 25 team most of the year. And, you know, I thought that they definitely overachieved. They had some great moments. And, you know, they got back into the postseason. So, you know, from that metric, for a team that was predicted to finish 14th in the SEC to finish 5th, yeah, I think you almost have to say that's a good season, right? They overachieved. They got to the postseason. If that's why you want to look at things, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. You can look at it another way, though, and that is you can have a standard for Mississippi State baseball that is higher than what this team achieved this year. And there's been a lot of chatter about, oh, well, you know, in this area of baseball, Mississippi State's only hosted this many times. I don't really care about that. You know, Mississippi State from 99 to 12, basically, was kind of floundering as a baseball program. And that's why they weren't hosting, and they made some bad decisions, and here you are. My standard for Mississippi State baseball changed the day that the new Duty Noble Field opened. That stadium, that commitment was made to host postseason baseball year in, year out. My standard for Mississippi State baseball is to be a program like Arkansas. And I know Arkansas just got eliminated in the regionals. I get that. But they hosted that regional. They were a top five team all year. They were a top five national seed. I see Tennessee and Kentucky as the one and the two seeds in the NCAA tournament. And I'm wondering, why isn't Mississippi State one of those teams? So if your standard is that, and I think Chris Lemonis would tell you, he said it on this show, that the standard is Omaha. So if you go by that, then you can't say it was a good season. Now, the truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? You can say they had a good season because you have to ask yourself, did Arkansas have a good season? Arkansas didn't go. Their season ended before Mississippi State's did, hours before. But they were a top five team the whole year. They won the SEC West. They won 44 games. Did they have a good season? Yeah. They had a bad postseason. Maybe you can divide those two things up. He had a good season, but a bad postseason. But did State have a good regular season? Was the overachieving and being better than everybody thought they were going to be good enough? Or is your standard your standard? And you think, well, they didn't do quite enough there for you. So, 662, good season, 17 conference wins. Okay season. Don't see them doing anything good for next year. Evansville won the East Carolina regional. State would have had more than twice as many people than in almost any other regional. We could certainly have the debate on who should have hosted. I have no problem with that. East Carolina and Arizona, in my opinion, did not deserve to host. And Mississippi State was definitely a more deserving host than them. And I do agree. I think if you give State a Starkville regional and you don't send them to Virginia, Virginia is a very good team. And I knew going up there, I thought State would win the regional, but I knew that it was possible they wouldn't. I knew that Virginia was definitely good enough to go up there and take that regional and go on to the next round. So that's where you are. And then, you know, we'll talk about next season in just a little bit because that is a big question for Mississippi State. But to me, it's interesting. You know, like I said, there's this narrative going around about how many times State has hosted in the super regional era, and how, you know, if that's your you know, it's not that big a deal that State hasn't hosted. I just disagree with that. My standard for Mississippi State baseball is high, and I don't apologize for that either. I'm not going to be one of these people who says, "Oh well, I'm sorry, but I just think no, this is what I expect." I expect to be a host 4 years out of five, and that's not going to happen now because you've had three straight years without a host. I expect to be a national seed probably 3 years out of five, and I expect to get to Omaha in a five-year period at least once. Now, if you're going to go in a five-year period, State's still good, right? They've been twice in 5 years, but those two are on the back end. When we open the season next year, it'll be once in 5 years. They don't go next year, it'll be 5 years without. That's not up to what my personal standard for Mississippi State baseball is. And again, I say it, I guarantee it, that's not up to Chris Lemonis' standard either. He would tell you the same thing. You know, he would tell you that stadium, this program was built to go to the College World Series. It was a good season. This is from Denny in Flowood. A good season for outsiders, not for Mississippi State standards. I agree with you, Denny. I agree. I think that, you know, an outsider looks at this team and goes, well, they were a top 25 team, and they were a two seed in the tournament. They won 17 conference games. That's a pretty good season. And then you have Mississippi State fans who go, no, we expect more. We expect more from this program. They spent $65 million on a baseball stadium. They didn't build it to be empty the last few weeks of May and the first week of June. They built it to host postseason baseball, and this is three straight years that hasn't happened. So what does that mean? Well, if you're a person who's like, well, I think we should just move on. No, that's, you get that. It's not even on the agenda. It's not on the agenda. Chris Lemonis has done enough, in my opinion, to get another year. I would tell you that he fell short of where I thought he needed to be, but I'm also a realist. I'm also, you know, I look at the situation as it is and tell you that Chris Lemonis is the head coach in 2025, come this, that, or the other. And that's not a problem for me. I think he showed that he was willing to make some changes. He was willing to do some things differently. He took the two biggest weaknesses this team had a season ago, pitching and defense, and turned them into strengths. State was the best defensive team in the country this year. State was one of the top pitching teams in the country this year. And had their hitting held up, they would have easily hosted and probably been a national seed. So now his question becomes fixing the hitting a little bit. The bad news there is going to be a ton of new faces, and that's what we're going to have to talk about when we come back. Because if you look at the lineup Mississippi State put out Sunday night in the final game against Virginia, of those nine starters, maybe two will be back next year. Maybe two. And when you talk about Mississippi State's rotation this year, you're going to have to almost completely rebuild it. And that's going to be a real task in the portal era. Should be a host, meaning top 16, not worse than that. Money is going to take us down. Well, I don't think that's the case at all. Mississippi State baseball, money is not an issue. They have money, both in terms of what support through to the program and support to the NIL collective. That's not an issue at all. We just have to find good players. Agreed. We have to. You said it, whole new roster. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Bubba and Starville, I agree, you earn another year at least. Yeah. I mean, there's no getting around that. Now, I've seen some people who are still like trying to hold on to this idea that Chris Lemonis might not be the head coach. That's not going to happen. You're not living in the real world if that's what you think. So what does this team look like in 2025? Which is a real year, by the way, that we're going to have to live through next year. It's not a sci-fi movie. Let's talk about that when we come back, because it is a big order to fill for Mississippi State. Maybe the biggest rebuild in Mississippi State history, regardless of team. It's going to be a very interesting offseason, very interesting next month and a half for Chris Lemonis and his staff. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Termite.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Wednesday evening. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. Hey, this Friday, 5 o'clock p.m., the NAMI Vicksburg Walk for Mental Health kickoff party at the Gertrude Young Community Center, 5 to 7, 923 Walnut Street. Door prizes and light refreshments will be offered. For more information, visit www.vicksburgusa.com. So we talked about it in the previous part of the show that Mississippi State baseball is going to look entirely different than it did this year. All of your stars are gone. Dakota Jordan, Hunter Hines. Hunter Hines hasn't made it official yet, but I'm pretty sure. Connor Hyzak, Amani Larry announced today he's out. Logan Kohler's just out of eligibility. You know, from a pitching perspective, Kyle Stevens gone. Gerangelo is gone. Tyson Harden should be out of eligibility. I believe Tyler Davis is out of eligibility. Nate Dome announced today he's leaving. It's just gone. You really are starting from scratch. If you said right now, who do you think will start for Mississippi State? I feel like Ethan Pulliam will start at second. There's been some whispers about Dylan Cupp maybe hitting the portal, but if that doesn't happen, he'll start at short. Good chance that Bryce Chance, no pun intended, is still here, and he'll be in the outfield, probably in left where he's been. Nolan Stevens at first. Sounds right. You do get Ross Highfield back this upcoming season, or at least you should, and so he's behind the plate. But this is a very unproven team. You're going to be talking about a lot of true sophomores and redshirt sophomores. You know, Chance will be the old man on this team. From a pitching perspective, I mean, right now, game one, I'd probably pencil in Pico Khan. After that, I literally have no idea. I literally have no idea who's going to pitch for Mississippi State. I thought Gavin Black looked really good on Saturday night. The decision to pull him out was one that we've talked about on the podcast and on Sports Talk Mississippi. I don't really need to revisit it, but he was dealing. And if you can see that guy, he can give you a big piece. But the truth of the matter is State has to go into the portal and get not just players. This isn't about getting depth in the portal. This isn't about, you know, a guy who maybe can come in and compete. You need to get five or six guys that can come in from day one and be SEC caliber players. And I mean high SEC caliber players. You need guys who can come in here, hit over 300. You need guys who can get double-digit home runs. You need guys who defensively they're good. Good players have to be there. You have to go into the portal and get two starting pitchers, probably, and then two to three more quality bullpen arms, including one that you can feel confident in being your closer. That's a big ask, guys. That's a lot to ask of any coach. Now, the good news is, and I think there's plenty of good news, that this time a year ago, when State's missing out on Luke Holman and missing out on Braden Montgomery, Coach Lemonis did not really have a lot to offer. He was on a hot seat. Everybody knew it. Everybody looked at that team and said, I don't know. It's going to be tough for them. You bring in Justin Parker, but he doesn't have the track record that he has at this point. And so it was tough to get guys in. Now, you did get a few guys in. Kyle Steven was a huge ad, but nobody at the time, when you signed that guy, nobody is sitting there saying, yeah, he's going to end up being the first team All-SEC guy next to Hagan Smith. Nobody's thinking that. It was a pleasant surprise. You fast forward a year, your program is on a lot more stable ground. It's on a lot better footing. And recruits are going to realize that. They're going to be like, okay, we're not coming in here to a situation where could be a new head coach next year. You can show on film what Justin Parker was able to do for this staff. Like, hey, look at what Gerangelo was and look at what he became. Gerangelo is likely going to be, if not a first-round pick, a high second-round pick. Nobody would have predicted that a year ago. Justin Parker can point to that on his resume. He can say, look at Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis. They both had ERAs over 10 a season ago. I got here and both of them were under 2 when it was all said and done. And Kyle Steven at Purdue was not a particularly great pitcher, and then he comes in here and he's first team All-SEC and he'll likely be a top 10 round pick and make a lot of money. That's a great thing to be able to point to if you're a Mississippi State coach in the recruiting process. And then, you know, from a hitting perspective, Mississippi State, I mean, you just got to look at it. You just got to watch an evening of Major League Baseball, and you see all the hitters that are already out there. You see Brent Rooker, and you see Jordan Westberg, and you see Adam Frazier and Hunter Renfro and all those guys. And, you know, like, that sells itself. That I'm not worried about. You have the facilities. You have the money. You have the support. The collective's in a good spot from everything I've been told. It's just going to be a matter of going out and getting those guys. And it's interesting to me. You know, We talked to Coach Lemonis last year around maybe a little earlier than this, right before the season ended, and it was, you know, how do you attack the portal? And he made it pretty clear that he knew that they were going to have to go into the portal, but he didn't want that to become the foundation of his program. He didn't want to be what Lane Kiffin has become for Ole Miss. Now, and I don't mean that with any kind of edge to it, right? Lane Kiffin has done what he needed to do to get that Ole Miss program where he wants it to be. Lemonis, I don't think, wanted to go this deep into the portal, but because of the way things have played out and because of some missed evaluations, that's where you are. And so in the coming weeks, you know, you remember last year, State, it was late getting guys through the portal. Like, you went a month, you were a few couple weeks after the College World Series before you started seeing any traction. It's got to be quicker here. I know you can't get to the guys who are still playing, but there's a ton of talent. And I won't come on this program and admit like I know who's in the portal for basketball. I just don't. You know, there's just not the amount of coverage that it gets for football and basketball. I'm sorry, for baseball is what I meant to say. For baseball. So State's got to go out there. I mean, first base, second base. Second base should be okay. But, I mean, I'd like to bring – if you can get somebody – you got to go that route of if there's somebody better than Pulliam out there, you got to go get them. Short, probably. Third, for sure. Catcher with Highfill and Powell, if Powell comes back, should be okay. Might need, you know, you get a third catcher. But and then in the outfield, you probably need 2, maybe 3 quality guys, and then 4 or 5 good, solid arms. That's a lot of work, guys. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And you know, I talked about this on the podcast, that if it does go bad and you don't get those guys, well, it's not like you're going to let Lemonis go in the fall. You're not going to be like, oh, well, you didn't recruit up to the standard, so you're going to go. I mean, that just throws the program into disarray at that point. So, you know, next season is next season. You just see what happens. I'll be interested to see how it goes for Lemonis. He's a good recruiter. He's done well at the high school level in terms of getting highly rated guys, but some of those highly rated guys have not panned out the way that you want to. Somebody's asking, is Mershon for sure gone? Mershon is likely to be a top 10 round pick, and if that's the case, he's gone. You know, the way the MLB sets things up, if you can't miss on those guys. You've got to feel good about signing them if you draft them. And I feel like he'll be drafted in that spot. You're talking about a plus defender, plus runner. He's got some pop at the shortstop position. He gets on base. He's got your intangibles. There's a lot to like with David Marchand and his pro profile. Need probably 10 to 15 really good players. Yeah, that is a tough call. Think about if there's no portal where Mississippi State is next year for baseball. That is, if you're a person who's like, I don't like the portal, and I don't, if you're a Mississippi State fan, the portal is your best friend for baseball next year, because it would be rough. You would be really relying on, I mean, at that point, Bryce Chance is clearly your most proven guy. And I like Bryce Chance, but if that's the guy that you're sort of rallying around, that's tough. You know, Bryce Chance is a scrappy, good hitter, leader, doesn't strike out a lot, so gets on base. But is that your best player? That's not where you want to be. No. So State has got to go out and get guys, and they got to get a lot of them. And that's going to be a tough assignment for Mississippi State. The good news is, you know, if you get those guys, you should be in good shape. You know, this program, I feel like you've got, you know, enough juice right now. I feel like it's going in the right direction. I feel like you got good coaches in place. I know a lot of people want to argue about Gotro, and I get those arguments. I want to see, you know, with a new crop what he looks like. I feel like there were some bad habits last year that they couldn't break. I want to see what he can do with a whole new crop of guys. And if it doesn't work out from there, you can make a move. But as Richard brought up the other day, Tanner Allen and Jake Mangum, maybe the two best hitters in Mississippi State's history, or at least in the top four, would tell you that Jake Gotro is the guy they trust the most with their swing. So if you trust those two guys, you should trust Jake Gotro. We'll see. Let's switch gears. Let's talk some football when we come back. The off season means we're getting close to football season. So we'll talk about Mississippi State, Jeff Lebby, and a few things along those lines when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
At Fillmore Buick, Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
What is this, Rhino?
This is Days of Future Past by Iron Maiden.
I like it. Rhino always keeping me on my toes with fantastic. Michael Borky dipped into your Thunder and Lightning file today for a song. I was just barely paying attention during the break, and then something came on. It was Ozzy, and I was just like, he's playing my music. It's our music, Rhino. They can't have that. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. As I mentioned earlier, this weekend is the Miss Mississippi pageant down in the great city of Vicksburg. Starting on Saturday night, June 8th, they will crown Miss Mississippi at the Vicksburg Convention Center. Tickets are pricey, $125 for all nights. And if you're looking for more information or if you want to purchase tickets to the pageant, visit www.miss-mississippi.com or call 601-638-6746. One day I'm going to get a phone number on there that I know and be like, hey, that's Jim's phone number. What's he doing? Let's talk some football. And as you know, Mississippi State is they're in the SEC this year, and so are Texas and Oklahoma. And it's apparently that was big news to some people in this company as recently as 2 months ago. I knew about it back in 2021, just for the record. And one of the things I've been thinking about, and this is sort of the focus of tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, is if you were to put the SEC into tiers this year, where is Mississippi State, and can they jump a tier, maybe be better than you expect this year? And so I came up with this, and you know, I didn't S, A, B, C, it, however you want to do it. I did it like this. I did. There's. I've said this before. There's championship contenders, then there's playoff contenders. That's where we'll start. There are two championship contenders, in my opinion. That's Georgia and Texas. The playoff contenders are Alabama, Tennessee, Missouri, and, well, you know, Ole Miss. We'll say it's Ole Miss. The next tier for me is just a couple of teams I think are going to be pretty good this year. Not great, not playoff team, but top 15 or so, and they'll go to good bowls, and that's LSU and A&M. Just too much talent at this point, especially with A&M. Now they've got a better coach in there. Just too much talent. Then you have a tier that's just like, they're just good, right? They'll win games, they'll go to a bowl, but they're not going to contend or anything. There's not going to be a moment where you're like, well, if they win here, and that's Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Auburn. And I wonder about Auburn. Do I have them a little high? I think Auburn has a ton of talent surrounding a below-average quarterback. So can they lift him up? My answer to right now is yes. When they play Arkansas in week four, I may have a different opinion. Then you have, and I think I'm going to make a little change based off of what I said on the podcast versus what we're going to bring here. I think there's three teams in the next tier, and that's Florida, South Carolina, and that's where Mississippi State would be. And then your bottom two, to me, are Arkansas and Florida, or Arkansas and Vanderbilt. I cannot get behind anybody who puts Arkansas ahead of Mississippi State this year. I don't know what you're seeing. I don't know what you're seeing. You can't tell me you think Pittman's a better coach than Levy, and I don't care that Levy hasn't coached a game yet. You're not going to convince me that you're saying that. I mean, I'd rather have Shapen than Taven Green. State's more talented. State beat Arkansas last year. That game is played at Starkville this year. I mean, I'm just not going to buy into it. State has finished above Arkansas, I think, seven of the last 10 years, eight of the last 10 years. There's no way that's going to happen. I just refuse to believe it. I could be wrong, but I refuse to believe it. I always sit here. So State's in that tier where I feel like a bowl game is a win, right? And when you look at my, I got my helmet schedule right here. Two of those teams I have making bowl games, and that's Mississippi State and South Carolina. If you listen to Tuesday's podcast, you know that I am not high at all on the Florida Gators to the point where even I was surprised at how few games I had them winning. But their schedule is a murderer's row from start to finish. They have one real break in there, and that's week two when they play Samford. Even their three of their non-conference games, they could lose, realistically. And then in conference, Florida plays Texas A&M, State, tennis at Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. I mean, no, I'm not buying in. I will not buy in. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. This is the hill I'm going to die on. Is that Florida will be bad next year? With State, when I look at their schedule and when I look at their roster, I really do think that 5-7 is more likely than 7-5. I really feel like 6-6 is the sweet spot for them. Four non-conference, win, beat Florida, beat Arkansas, and that's probably it. I feel really good about their chances against Florida and Arkansas, but I would tell you that it's more likely they would lose one of those games than win what is the next least difficult game for them, which would probably be Texas A&M at home. And they've had some luck against A&M over the past few years. They've been good against the Aggies, but obviously most of my concerns are on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, with offense, do I have concerns? Do I have questions? Of course I do, because you haven't seen it in action yet. But Levy, everywhere he's gone and everything he's done, leads you to believe that offensively they're going to be fine. That that Shapen will come in and be able to deliver from day one, that they put some enough talent around them, they rebuilt the offensive line, they'll be fine there. Defensively is where your questions are. And in a year where you play Georgia and Texas, I had a question about the Georgia and Texas games, too. And we're going to have to do it again. We're going to have to talk about that 2020 Ole Miss team again. If you remember that year, they played Alabama. They lost 63-48. Heck of a game. They went back and forth. I think Alabama finally got a stop defensively in that game. That was one of the worst played games Ole Miss ever played defensively in its history. I believe the final stat, and it's still mind-boggling to this day, from where Alabama started every drive, they only didn't get 2 yards of offense. In other words, they scored a touchdown. They had scored a touchdown on every drive, and then there was one drive where they got stopped on fourth and whatever inside the five or something. Something like that. That they basically every potential yard they could have gained, they gained all but two. Ole Miss fans were thrilled after that game. Absolutely thrilled. They were like, you know what? We lost, and you know, we're not very good defensively, but dang it. It was fun. It was exciting. We were in the game. We had a chance. Let's go. I would tell you that loss for Kiffin solidified his fan base behind him a lot more than some of his wins did that year. Because that was the game they were like, we can compete with this guy. So can State do that this year? I don't know the answer to that. And my inclination is no. But can State go to play Georgia or Texas and lose 52-35? Can they lose 49-31? Something like that. Where it's a game and it's just that at late, the better team pulls away. But you walk out of there and State has 30-plus points and they've got 500-plus yards of offense on this team and you're thinking, okay, well, I mean, they played Georgia. They played Texas. It's one of the top teams in the country. If you could get a game like that, man, that would do a ton for Mississippi State, I think. The same way it did for Ole Miss. You know? Ole Miss has not beaten Alabama under Kiffin, but their fans believe they can because of that first game. So can you get something similar to that for Mississippi State? And then, you have to play. You remember what I said earlier, right? There are two championship contenders. And four playoff contenders. State plays both of the championship contenders and three of the playoff contenders, three of the four. They don't play Alabama, but they do play Tennessee, Missouri, and Ole Miss on top of playing Georgia and Texas. That's why ESPN, as they released today, Mississippi State with the second hardest schedule in the conference behind only, who was this, Florida. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. Florida has to play Georgia, Texas. They don't play Texas, I'm sorry. No, they do. They have the same five games, right? They play Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss. Okay, they don't play Missouri, but they do play Florida State. You know, State gets a couple of days off with UMass and Eastern Kentucky. Florida gets one with Samford, but, I mean, their next hardest game is UCF. With K.J. Jefferson down there, Gus Malzahn coaching, don't tell me UCF couldn't win that game. So, year one in the SEC, of this version of the SEC for Mississippi State. Very interesting. I'm interested to see if they can overachieve. The same way we're talking about baseball overachieving. Can Mississippi State football do it as well? I don't know. We're going to find out. Plenty of football to talk about in the coming weeks as we get closer. You know, SEC Media Days, like 35 days from now. 36 days from now, something like that. Maybe a little longer. In Dallas, Texas. Looking forward to that for sure. Back in just a minute to wrap it up. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The one Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X seems to have brought us to a full and complete stop. We'll check our side mirrors before we get out of the car, though. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. It's available everywhere you get podcasts. It's also available, of course, at our website, supertalk.fm. What are we sitting at today? We're number two in the nation for a sports news podcast. So that's very good. What other charts are we on? We're 125 in Great Britain, 231 in Australia. Number 99 in Belgium. They love us in Belgium. We're down a spot to 38 in Singapore and holding steady at number 37 in Ghana. Somebody out on safari right now listening to Thunder and Lightning. So whether you're listening in Mississippi, in London, or whatever the capital of Ghana is, appreciate you guys tuning into the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Starting next week, the Thunder and Lightning Summer Catfish Tour, the Catfish Strike Back. I don't know if we want to call it that. I feel like I'm stealing from the Starkville Derby. But regardless, we are a go starting next week, and we're starting right here in Starkville. So if you're in the Starkville area, next Thursday, June 13th, 11 a.m., we will be live at Obie's here in Starkville to enjoy some delicious Superior catfish and have a really good time. Coach Chris Jans will join us, which is kind of funny because my actual dentist's office is across the street from Obie's. But he will set up residence there, and we'll talk with him, maybe a few other guests as well, and, of course, some delicious Superior catfish. We have four stops planned. Let's go ahead and reveal those here on the show right now. We will be the week after that on Friday, June 21st, we'll be in Boyle, Mississippi. Real quick, Rhino, do you know where Boyle, Mississippi is?
I do not.
Bolivar County is where we're headed, to the Catfish Cabin. So we will see you there on June 21st. If you're in the Delta, please come by and say hello. June 27th, that is going to be in Flowood. So, Rhino, I expect to see you there at Fan and Mart for our stop there. Near the capital city. Then we're going to take a little hiatus around July 4th, back on July the 12th, Friday in Bay Springs, Mississippi at Big O's. Get some catfish down there in central Mississippi. So those are our four stops that we have planned. Are we open for another spot? I don't know the answer to that, but if you've got a favorite catfish house and they sell Superior catfish, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter or right here on the Ceasefire text line. What about Nepal? We have fallen off the rankings in Nepal. So whoever the Mississippi State fan who was on a Himalayan expedition seems to have made it home. And I'm glad that he's back home safe. But we are no longer trending in the great country of Nepal. If any of our Nepalese listeners are out there, though, we do miss you guys, and we'd love to have you back. So if we can get us back on those charts, hey, we would really, really appreciate that. So looking forward to this catfish tour. It's going to be a lot of fun getting the start here in my hometown, or I guess my new hometown of Starkville. I'll be in Vicksburg, I'll be in Vicksburg on the 20th. Rhino, I have been invited to speak to the Rotary Club.
Well, that could be fun.
I'm sure it could be. I have no idea. So a friend of mine's like, what are you going to talk about? I was like, the economy. I'm going to get in there and really give it to Biden. I'm just going to be like, you know what, this guy, what is he doing? No, I'm going to talk about football. What do you think I'm going to talk about? Get in there and just be like, as my friend Paul Gallo always says, Joe Biden is wrong about everything. And just go from there and see where it takes me, I guess. I don't know the answer to that. So, we had some basketball news today. Shaq Moore in the portal. He heads to Kansas. I like Shaq Moore. Good player. Good kid. Didn't see that coming. Kansas was not the program I would have projected him to end up at. But I think he could be a contributor for them. If he's the guy coming off the bench, if Shaq Moore is the guy you have coming off the bench for 12 to 15 minutes a game, play a little defense, hit a couple of threes, that's a pretty deep bench you got there. So they should be in pretty good shape there. I'm excited for basketball. Excited to talk about to Coach Chris Jans. He was excited, too. I sent him a text. I was like, Coach, we're doing this. He was just like, what time? I tell him the time. He's like, I'll be there. All right. Lock it in. So 11 a.m. is when we're planning to start. It's not going to be a show like this where it just kind of flows. We have to sort of, you know, erect or set it up. But we would like to have you there. Pack out Obie's. Come and see us, and we'll be looking forward to it. Come probably say hello and get a picture with me. Or if you really would rather have a good picture, you can take one with Robbie. It'll be great. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate you, as I do every week here on Thunder and Lightning. Appreciate Visit Vicksburg for being our sponsor. Check them out, visitvicksburg.com. Check out their calendar events. You can find out all the great things happening in the city of Vicksburg this weekend and every weekend. For Rhino and Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thank you for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.